The state Alcohol Control Board moves forward with regulations that could prohibit cocktails at distilleries. And Alaska leaders push the feds on transboundary mining. It's the Cage Nest Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. The debate over whether Alaska's distilleries can serve cocktails continues. At their meeting Monday, the Alcohol Control Board reviewed new regulations which would ban mixed drinks, unless you mix them yourself. Cageness's Barrett Wilbur reports.
Alaska's 10 distilleries just got some bad news. At its November meeting, the Alcohol Control Board decided to proceed with regulations that stop distilleries from selling cocktails. For Haines's Heather Shade, that was a blow.
It's almost like the whole regulatory process is just failing an entire industry.
Shade and her husband have been winning awards for craft spirits since opening the Port Chilcoot Distillery in 2013. Their business plan included getting legislation passed to allow distillery tasting rooms so people could sample their spirits on site. That law passed in 2014. Port Chilcoot has served cocktails and samples year-round in Haines ever since. Until August. That's when AMCO, the state's alcohol enforcement office, issued an advisory notice that took Alaska's spirit makers by surprise. AMCO received a complaint that a distillery was serving cocktails, which was a violation of the law.
That was a little astonishing. It's not a public safety issue. Tasting rooms have been operating in this manner for years.
The three-year-old law says distilleries may sell not more than 3 ounces a day of the distillery's product. Mixers, from tonic or juice to vermouth for a martini, didn't count as the distillery's product. AMCO warned distillers to cease selling drinks with ingredients they didn't produce. So Port Chilcoot changed their menu to comply with the new guidelines and keep serving cocktails.
Or we had to adjust by producing all of our own mixers from scratch on site so that they would qualify as our distillery's product. But now we've heard from the AMCO director that that's not what she meant, and what they want is for us not to make cocktails at all, unfortunately.
In September, the AMCO director sent a message to the Alcohol Control Board. Alaska's Department of Law had looked into it, and their interpretation was that distilleries shouldn't serve cocktails at all, period. Assistant Attorney General Harriet Milks explains why.
This is essentially a manufacturing statute. It provides a license to produce distilled alcoholic products, gin, vodka, things like that. It does not permit on its face distilleries to serve cocktails.
The control board agreed to get new regulations written to make that explicit, but with a tied vote, they also allowed distilleries to keep serving homemade cocktails until those regulations are finalized. In the meantime, both regulators and distillers are frustrated. Milks says cocktails haven't come up as an issue before because regulators monitor over 2,500 alcohol and now marijuana licenses statewide. There are only 10 licensed distilleries, half of which have been operating less than 4 years.
Did any of these distilleries come to the board and say, hey, we're selling cocktails, is that okay? No, they never did that. So unless you communicate with the regulators, I mean, they just don't have ESP.
Shade feels regulators did know distilleries were serving cocktails, or should have. Alaska distilleries advertise their cocktails in print, radio, social media, and on their websites. The director of the Alcohol Control Board owns Anchorage Distilling, which serves cocktails in its tasting room.
Every form of common sense is saying that this is a good thing and that it's a legal thing, and then we just get these arbitrary rulings.
No matter who knew what when, now that the Department of Law has weighed in, Milks says, the board's hands are tied by that interpretation of the statute. So legislators are weighing in too. 8 lawmakers sent a letter to the board saying they intended for distilleries to serve cocktails when they passed the law. But that ship has sailed.
When we provide a legal interpretation of a statute, we do not have free range to read in every possibility that might exist under the sun just because it's not precluded. And if that's what the intent was, then the legislature can easily go back and fix that and clear all this up.
but the legislature doesn't reconvene until January. During their November meeting, the Alcohol Control Board reviewed new draft regulations. They banned distilleries from serving mixed drinks, or at least from having staff mix them. Because they can't regulate non-alcoholic beverages, they can't ban serving ingredients separately. So even though you couldn't order a gin and tonic, you could order both gin and tonic. The board voted to move forward with the regulations and opened them up for public comment. Christy Tangs, who owns the Pioneer Bar in Haines, feels torn about the board's decision. Her bar operates under a beverage dispensary license, which in Alaska can cost $250,000, Milks says. Distilleries don't have to buy those licenses, and their annual fees are less than half of what bars pay.
Beverage dispensary permits cost a lot of money, and they are limited in a community. It has felt like unfair competition from my view.
Tangs recently put her bar up for sale. Business is hard enough in Haines, she says, for everyone. The Alcohol Control Board will review public comments on the draft regulations before they take a final vote at their January 23rd meeting. In Haines, I'm Vera Wilbur.
The Haines Assembly will address a proposed timber sale at a special meeting on Monday. The University of Alaska is offering up 400 acres on the Chilkat Peninsula. The area in Haines Mud Bay neighborhood is home to many residential properties. The Assembly is meeting to provide public comment on the sale. The university is accepting feedback until November 22nd, and that's also the deadline for bids on the sale. A public hearing on the potential grant funding for upgrades to the public safety building will also be held on Monday. The borough is considering applying for funding through the Community Development Block Grant Program. The meeting is scheduled for Monday, November 20th at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. Alaska leaders want Secretary of State Rex Tillerson to push Canadian officials to better protect Southeast fisheries from British Columbia mine projects. The governor, lieutenant governor, and congressional delegation made the ask in a joint letter sent this week to the U.S. State Department. Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott says officials want environmental protections discussed at an upcoming meeting of the department and its Canadian counterpart.
We focused on asking them to have the BC mining projects, the Transboundary Treaty, and the implementation of it as it relates to transboundary rivers in Alaska be included on their agenda.
State officials made similar requests to John Kerry, the previous Secretary of State. But his department set the issue back to Alaska, since it was already consulting with British Columbia. Since then, tribal environmental and fisheries groups have demanded stronger action to protect watersheds where Alaska salmon spawn and grow. Chris Zimmer works for Rivers Without Borders. The environmental group has warned of the dangers of transboundary mining for more than a decade.
This is what's been needed all along, is this concerted approach from our members of Congress and the state to the U.S. federal government. And then hopefully what that will result in is a concerted approach to B.C. and Canada both to deal with some current issues we have with transboundary mining.
Two mines and more than half a dozen exploration projects are active not far from the Alaska border. Another long-closed mine is leaking acidic water. British Columbia and U.S. State Department officials could not be immediately reached for comment. Mine owners and developers have said their projects don't pose serious threats to Alaska. The letter asks for specific steps to be taken to protect Alaska waters. Mallott says one important effort would standardize monitoring downstream from the mines and projects.
Right now, water quality and other environmental data is gathered as the result of specific permits for specific projects. And we believe that that kind of monitoring should be undertaken on a consistent over time basis by our governments.
The state signed a memorandum of understanding with British Columbia about a year ago, but the provincial government has changed leadership, as have both federal governments. Mallott says his administration continues working with provincial officials, but the State Department needs to become a stronger partner in those efforts. The group Salmon Beyond Borders has recently criticized the state for acting too slowly, but spokeswoman Heather Hardcastle says the letter is a step in the right direction.
they need to know that they're not stepping on the toes of the state or the delegation, but instead carrying out really united asks.
The letter to Tillerson was signed by Malott, Governor Bill Walker, Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, and Representative Don Young. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight.